Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix.
I'm trying to tell you how the sciences, the professions got together, those that deal with the mind. Judging themselves to be superior, obviously, because they were men of science and rationality, he claimed. Which is kind of scary, because if you look at the history of Freud, you find out the man was a heavy drug user. He fudged a lot of his publications. He tried to make facts fit where they didn't, and had some bogus tests, and eventually a lot of his stuff was discredited, but a lot of the techniques that came out of his inquiries into the subconscious, or even the unconscious, as he called it, the great sea, where everything that is possible within a human dwells, all the good things about you, all the bad things about you that come out in dreams. He was learning a lot about what motivates people, really, and also learning about what motivates their fears. If you know what motivates their fears, you can use those fears on the general public to control them.
Psychiatry was invented to change the world and change all of you in it. You know? And it completely interlocks with the idea of the front organization called communism, to restructure and control society and destroy family units and everything else.
This incredible topic, as I say, it's our whole reality. That's the hardest part to grasp, but it's everything that we take for granted, really. We've grown up in a system, and children will accept the system they grow up in, thinking it's quite natural and normal. And all the studies that have been done on mammals show that the young of the mammals will look towards parents to show them signs of agitation or fear towards other animals or creatures which they might be an enemy of, might be dangerous to them. And if the mammal doesn't know to warn the youngster will go right up to its main enemy and probably get eaten. And that's what's happening to us. Our parents were brainwashed before we were born, of course, and they in turn had incredible indoctrination put upon them through the educational system. The educational system can be traced quite far back in most countries. Gatto has a really good book out on it, on the history of education and what its main purpose initially was. And it wasn't just to turn out good workers, it was also to create a peaceful society. And if you go into the writings of other orators, especially of the US, like Webster, for instance, a great orator, great speech writer, he wrote some incredible articles on the purpose of education. And he said that it was to create a particular idealistic type of a citizen. But it didn't stop there. It doesn't just stop it helping us gain the skills we need to go out into employment. They also had a further intention for it. It was to eventually bring us into a controlled society by using the sciences, and perhaps because of the sciences, because the scientists at the top, especially those in the fields of what became known as psychology and psychiatry, were looking at humanity as a whole. And when they first came together and became a more respectable profession, before that were speculators, really, then became a profession from Freud onwards, they decided that humanity and the individual within humanity was a wild beast and had to be tamed by scientific methods. They claimed that the individual caused the wars, which is absolutely crazy, because where in the past, and monarchs ruled, certainly monarchs could take whole nations off to wars, and people would obey using tribal instincts. But it went much further than that, and that's where I'm going to go in this talk. And we're back after this break. Getting back to the topic of how we're manipulated, really, and that's what it's about. Long before Freud came along, and Freud himself is an interest in history, and his wife did too. And those various relatives of his were all involved in the same area of mind control in one way or another. Freud's attempts at psychoanalysis were more of a method to find out why people behave in certain ways, what motivates them, where Bernays, his nephew, was more involved in applying what was known to control and persuade the masses to behave in a certain way or to buy products even without their knowing why they were doing it. So they were working together, but not just them. There were other relatives that they had, and you can do searches on them. It's quite a fascinating study. You find various groups all coming out of Germany in the same area working on the mind. And it was certainly applied in full, which makes me think that the technique itself was beyond Freud and was pre-Freud. Because when Bernays started using these techniques on society, it was already a known art. He came at things from such a weird angle, you'd never have guessed how to do it. It had to have been debated, discussed, and tested long, long before he was born. And he must have been taught and trained this. So it predates Freud, this particular type of science. They brought into it other areas too, like mesmerism and self-hypnosis, which tend to go together, and all these modern groups today that promise you wondrous things if you take their courses usually use the same techniques, and so do some charismatic Christian organizations as well. And so we're going on about Freud here. Now, Freud was put up to the front to basically promote the same idea of a new way of thinking. So before that, as I say, people who had relied heavily on religion, and that was the first one that had to be destroyed to bring in the new religion of science. So it started with Darwin. Freud was put out there to bring in all the theories that they came up with to do with mental illness. And Freud himself was a drug addict. We know that. You know, he died with cancer of the jaw. He was always smoking opium and so on.
Oh,
which was
really?
Yeah. And these characters were all into that at that time. It was quite legal then. Arthur Conan Doyle, that did the Sherlock Holmes novels, always had Sherlock in the novels shooting up heroin. It's because Conan Doyle did the same thing himself. That was quite acceptable with these characters who all belonged to the high institutions, and they believed in this alternate reality where they got their ideas, and that's why they're so wacky, all these ideas that they came out with. And all Freud did really, it's obvious that Freud himself was the one with the sexual problems. If you really study,
you know what,
his
I
work.
Thought that too, because I don't know if you've seen this BBC documentary, but I've been making copies and passing it out, and it talks about Freud, Bernays, and Anna, you know, and I just, you know, even when I first heard about his complexes, like in sixth grade, eighth grade, I was like, this is psychotic. This is, you know...
The man definitely was, you know, and he was psychotic, and he had tremendous hang-ups, and he talked about the tactile senses, and babies would love to play with feces and all this kind of stuff, you know, and generally that's not the case at all. But what he did was displace his deity, which is above his head, and put it below his belt. So he based everything on libido and the sex drive, which is generally dropping. It's been dropping that whole idea, that belief, and it's just all libido-driven. Because now we know that it's really psychopathic natures that run the world. It's not an excessive sex drive. And it doesn't matter if it's male or female either. The ones who get to the top in the system are psychopathic by nature. Now, Carl Jung himself was a student of Freud, And he was being trained by, even though he literally was a real psychiatrist, Freud didn't have psychiatric qualifications. You know, he was just an MD. But Carl Jung did have them. But Carl Jung himself, being the son of the Grand Master of Switzerland at the time, also coming out of the 1800s, a time when the New Age religion was really being pushed big time, and contacting the dead through mediums, etc. Jung was also into that whole area as well. And in his thesis at university, was to do with the dead, the life after death, spirit world, and so on. He sort of put that to the side and didn't want that to be too well known once it became very popular and famous, in case it would discredit him. But he did couple, he even gave credence that most of his ideas, Carl Jung, came from a spirit guide. Which he called Philemon. And Philemon, in ancient mythology, was the kingfisher, a man who looked like a kingfisher with the big wings and the colors, the kingfisher of men in ancient Greece. And so he was getting all his messages and a lot of his data from the spirit world, according to himself. So you have all these characters at the top who gave us what we're now taught as sciences, and psychology itself has devolved into the most hodgepodge sect, just like religion. Many different sects of psychology blended with the New Age. It's almost part voodoo, depending on where you go, you know. They'll give you any kind of treatment.
In the culture.
But it's sad, it's sad. I mean, now there are some good videos out there on psychiatry and the history of it. Now, one of the best ones, actually, I didn't know at the time, and it doesn't really, what their content isn't bad, but it's called Psychiatry and an Industry of Death.
Now, if those who have never gone through the history of psychiatry, remember there's a political agenda and a social agenda behind psychiatry. Folk don't realise that. They're given the standard nonsense put out by the perpetrators of the whole scam if they go to university, and that's what they get taught. And you have to go into the history of Freud and read everything the man wrote, including his private letters and addresses he gave to different agencies and organisations, to understand what it was all about. But it was to also give a group of people the right to determine who was sane, who was not sane. It tied in, the communists ran with this one too, because they had a lot in common with Freud in some ways, those who ran the Soviet Union. And it was staffed by just one group of people for many, many years who kept hold of it jealously and very tightly, like a clique. And they created the World Psychiatric Association under Freud's daughter. And some of the guys who were in it wrote about it. A couple of them left of their own accord, like Carl Jung, and who was the only outsider, by the way, of this group. And because he said, I can't go along with Freud's idea that they must make, this is what Freud told him. He says, we must make sexual sex, he says, the basis of all human endeavor and motivation. Everything became libido, libido, libido. And Jung said this was nonsense. It wasn't true at all. But Freud had sunk everything on this, you see, to make it so. Because there was a theory going round that a certain backlash against a certain people was always caused by sexual suppression of those in the Western countries. This is what they claimed for certain discrimination, you might say. Completely false. But this is what they put on. And of course, that's why they sexualized the whole culture. Massive thing behind it. And don't forget that the Freudian idea of psychotherapy, which has never been proven to work at all. And even though Freud himself made quite amazing statements about being a revolutionary in the revolutionary tradition of destroying the European culture. He himself, you know, he didn't cure anybody of anything. It's quite amazing to see where his mind really was. Where he even told one of his students to seduce the patients if they were rich and wealthy and get their money and maybe even marry them to get their money. Cold-blooded. And he boasted about always wanting to be incredibly rich from it all too. There was nothing altruistic about that kind of thing at all. But the whole idea again was to do away with morality of Europe. The family unit, and what he called sexual suppression. And you end up now until... I really do think that in some of the countries, there are probably more children being aborted than given live births in some people, some cultures. I really do think so. And that is the end of a people when you've got to that stage. And you've been driven to it and shown where to go about it all. Thinking you're all making your own choices, but you weren't, not at all. So again, you have psychotherapists that take over under the guise of the Freudian psychology from the old priests that would go where you go for and have your confession, for instance, if you were Catholic. And now you just go to and pay money to prattle off to someone who has no interest at all, really, except lining their own pockets for listening to your problems.
Experts guide our lives. They tell us what to think and what to wear, what our opinion should be. And we never question them. We never question their motives either.
psychiatry has been one of the greatest tools, beginning in the 20th century, to manipulate whole populations into what's now a new normal. Freud started this off, basically. He was paid to do so, fronted to do so, made famous like all famous stars are. Just like Darwin was made famous. No one had heard of Darwin. The media made him a superstar before his book was even published. That's how you create stars. Same happened with Freud. And psychiatrists, including psychoanalysts, have painted the picture of a normal personality, which is never terribly sad and never terribly angry or never too excited. Then they use words like infantile or neurotic to denounce certain traits or types of personalities that don't conform with the conventional pattern of a normal individual. When you think of this kind of influence, it's in a way more dangerous than the older, honest form of name-calling, because that's all it is. It's name-calling. Then, of course, then when you were called a name, the individual knew at least there was some person or some doctrine which criticized him, and he could fight back, but you can't fight back against science, you see. It's science. So how can you have a world of billions of people, and yet we're all supposed to conform to one personality type?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was listening to your last caller, and I hear this statement you made, and you know, most people believe they're using 10% of their minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this small amount and stuff. And I don't know if you did any research on that, or have any idea where that came from.
Yeah, it came out from early psychiatric meetings. Psychiatry was always socialistic from its beginning. Darwinistic, because he tried to prove in the outset that all mental illnesses were due to hereditary factors and genes. And that helped to make it possible for Hitler to kill a lot of the mentally ill. But they claimed at the time that most folk only use 10% of their brain, you know. And there's more to it than that, but hold on and I'll come back with you after this break. Hi folks, we're back, cutting through the matrix, and we've got Stan on the line. Are you still there, Stan?
I'm still here.
Yeah, where did you want to take that? Was it to...
Well, I just bring that up as a simple point, because I use this as sort of a technique to get to some people, to wake them up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I realize it came from Sigmund Freud, and you know, that psychiatry, the Freudian, and of course Freud was a fan of Darwinism, and you know, it all works together. And
yeah.
I think it was an explanation between consciousness and subconsciousness. Freud mm-hmm. felt that, you know, that 10% of consciousness.
Yeah. And yet, you know, the man who broke away from them and wrote his own books, who worked with Freud, in fact, eventually it said that it was all nonsense.
It is all nonsense.
He fell out with Freud because Freud, being a good communist, you know, it's a big part of the world, can, you know, idea of the agenda. Freud wanted all his followers to go out there and tell the world that everything that happened in human nature was due to nothing more than sexual drive. And this guy said, no way, that's crazy. And so
I refer to him as Sigmund Freud.
He was definitely a fraud. And if you follow his daughter and her personal, she became head of World Psychiatry, and she treated women and their children. Every single one of the children she treated committed suicide.
That's correct, and some of them even in Freud's own house, I believe.
That's right. That is right. Now, this article too, it ties in with this as well, because it says Kathleen Taylor, neuroscientist, says religious fundamentalism could be treated as a mental illness. Now, is that only select people who will be classified as having wrong thinking and fundamentalism, or is that all religious folk? Well, it'll be selective folks. And it said here that an Oxford University researcher and author specializing in neuroscience had suggested that one day religious fundamentalism may be treated as a curable mental illness. See, there, remember too, we're going through the statistical manual for the diagnosis of mental disorders and so on, as I've updated that, and they've got so many new disorders, it's hard to believe. And they're going into various areas which really are to do with your morals. If you're the wrong morals, meaning you like to be clean and tidy, and you don't wallowing in certain things you think is dirty, then you're ill, you see. But anyway, getting back to the article, it says here that she describes herself as a science writer affiliated to the Department of Physiology, Anatomy and Genetics, made a suggestion during a presentation on brain research at the Hay Literary Festival in Wales on Wednesday. In response to a question about the future of neuroscience, she said, "One of the surprises may be to see people with certain beliefs as people who can be treated," the Times of London notes. So already there's a consensus in neuroscience, and the politics and the groups actually that fund it believe that certain folk need to be treated. As what's really interesting, if you went to the history of psychiatry, it was born, and they put Freud forward as a front man, basically. He claimed the roots of many racial aspects of the West and so on towards this particular people was because they were crippled and basically with their morality to do with sexual matters, and they'd have to break them all up and destroy all that and have people basically doing what they're doing now. It's worked awfully well, you see. It's been total war as they destroy the family unit and have everybody rutting like rabbits, basically. It's worked awfully well. This is war, folks. And if you went to neuroscience too, this is the next big phase of this. This is their goal. And it says here that one of the surprises may be to see people with certain beliefs and can be treated, actually. But who's going to, is it going to be judges or what? What's it going to be? Are they going through your census reports? All the data? Oh, you believe in this, you believe in that. It's not for every religion, remember. It's only certain ones. It says someone who has been, for example, become radicalized to a cult ideology, we might stop seeing that as a personal choice, that they've been chosen as a result of pure free will, and may start treating as some kind of mental disturbance. In many ways, it could be a very positive thing, because there are no doubt beliefs in our society that do a heck of a lot of damage. Well, democracy is one, because we've never had it. His author went on to say she wasn't referring to the obvious candidates like radical Islam, but also meant such beliefs as the idea that beating children is acceptable. That's really interesting too, because the same movement, you see, that brought Freud forward, who said he was bringing a plague to America, by the way, of destroying their culture. You find also that many others are involved in it too, and the brought up Dr. Spock, who started the whole thing about, oh, treat your child like it's your best friend. Well, sorry, a child is a child. An adult is an adult. And you completely think completely differently. But they put all that imagery through again, as Bernays says, always use magazines. More women read magazines and believe the experts more than men do. And that's how they started that. Then they put onto talk shows. And then they put it into comedies and so on, where dad's a silly little guy and mum and the child are far more smart and intelligent. It's worked awfully, awfully well. Total war, we're talking about total war. And most folk don't know they've been born into total war. This article here is from Reuters. Another part of this agenda, you see, is political correctness, and it goes under many guises. You don't realize that the Soviet Union elevated psychiatry, of course, as a science up to the top. So did Nazi Germany. In fact, many of the Nazi psychiatrists, many of whom were actually Jewish as well, were Nazi party members, because their agenda with eugenics all fitted in with the idea of hereditary mental illness and so on. So they were tied at the hip. And it hasn't changed today. All psychiatrists are taught at the start that most psychosis are found in hereditary conditions, and they put across these different ideas. It could be a dominant gene, it could be a chemical imbalance still caused by a dominant gene and so on. All these could be's, but they are taught as fact. But they're also there to create a new type of society. In fact, as I say, the Soviets went so far is to lock people up as mentally ill if they wanted to retain individuality and make their own opinions on society in which they were living. They called it inflexibility of opinion. That was a mental disorder in the Soviet system, and it shortly will be here too. Because we've all to get our psychiatric assessments every so often under the new system. They're already weighing every child in Britain very frequently at school and sending mum's notes. Mum's notes telling them that their child is 1 pound overweight, etc. Next step will be to fine the parent, you see. And you'll also get psychiatric assessments of them, and that will be the next kind of note they'll get as well. Your Johnny said something very politically incorrect in school, and you must be the source of this. And if you're not the source, we want to find out who is the source of this indoctrination, this wrong indoctrination that he's getting. We're talking about psychiatry and how it's three parts of this new organizational ability to create new types of humans and so on, and into political correctness and all the rest of it, and how they have gone along and been highly elevated, in fact, in totalitarian regimes before. And that's, of course, why it's been given so much credence in the West as well. You have to read the history of Freud and the whole explosion. The massive money behind getting the Freudian message out to all the media was incredible. It was a must-be, as I say, to change society, just as much as Darwin was as well. No one heard of Darwin until the Royal Society, a Masonic organization to deal with science, elevated his name to the top, made him a star before they released it all, and even show him to the public, and he was an instant success. The art of creating a star is just to build it up and build him up, and the guy appears and he's already a star. You see, it's quite simple. But Freud did the same thing, and then his daughter took over and really formed the sort of World Psychiatric Association. And she had a great success treating dysfunctional families. I think every child committed suicide, actually, on the DVDs that have been sent on her. And the real aim of it was, though, to further make you think there's another animal, and yet you're not that high up on the totem pole after all in regards to life. And anything you do or feel can be easily explained by psychobabble, and that's all most of it is. They can't cure a darn thing. They can certainly tranquilize everybody, and all these things that mental patients are given are really tranquilizers. But they don't really know what's causing it. Lots of explanations, but nothing concrete. And they keep adding every year to the list of different mental disorders. It's good for business because they get out again on the Oprah type shows, and they can disclose new illnesses that you never thought of before. One of them they had before was I think it was nervous leg syndrome. You know, when you're sitting there and you're sitting on the ball of your feet there, and then your legs start shaking. All children do it, and now you've got a nervous leg syndrome, and there's a pill for that. So they go much, much further, of course, to try to create the new types of humans. The whole idea of being inhibited is something that came out. They used to call it anal retentive, meaning you were not hip, you were not ready to change into the new love everybody society. You know, the first generation of hippies that gave up everything, ate out at restaurants or ordered pizza in because none of them learned to cook and never turned up for any appointments they ever made. That was the real breakthrough for the first attempt at communitarianism, as I said. And also they wanted to even go further and try the same thing they were trying in Israel at the time with the kibbutz-style living, where the children would not know who their parents were, and the kibbutz would bring up the children in creches, basically. It's very similar to what Adolf Hitler did, strangely enough, to create the Superman. And it didn't work in Israel because the women preferred to take care of their own children, so eventually it faded away from the kibbutz. But they're trying things across the world. When you see the same things happening across the world under different names, they're all the same. It's the same agenda. It's the same with sustainability and Agenda 21. They've been told from the United Nations to use different terms in different areas so that people don't catch on to the actual agenda that's underway. Getting back to psychiatry, this was sent in by Rayman today, and it's from Reuters, and it's July 27th. It says, an updated edition of a mental health Bible for doctors may include diagnoses for disorders such as toddler tantrums and binge eating, experts say. A world run by experts, exactly what Huxley said and Russell said. The training's altered. Just listen to experts. Never listen to your own little voice in your head that gives you common sense. No, listen to experts. It says, and it could mean that soon no one will be classified as normal. Leading up mental health experts gave a briefing on Tuesday to warn that a new edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, which is being revised now for publication in 2013, could devalue the seriousness of mental illness and label almost everyone as having some kind of disorder. citing examples of new additions like mild anxiety, depression, psychosis, risk syndrome, and temper dysregulation order. They said many people previously seen as perfectly healthy could in future be told they're ill. And governments will use this, folks. Governments will use this. It says here it's leaking into normality. It's like Kinsey Report, utter rubbish put together by a pervert who lied through his teeth about all these studies to change society. That was the function. He was funded by Rockefeller to do it. We saw the mess that we're in now today due to that, you know. This is the same with psychiatry. So they'll have a disorder for everything, and again, inflexibility of opinion will be one of them. I'm sure they'll borrow that from the old Soviets. It says it's leaking into normality. It's shrinking the pool of what is normal to a puddle, said Till Weichs of the Institute of Psychiatry, King's College, London. The DSM is published by the American Psychiatric Association and contains descriptions, symptoms, and other criteria for diagnosing mental disorders. It's seen as the global diagnostic bible for the field of mental health medicine. The criteria are designed to provide clear definitions for professionals who treat patients with mental disorders and for researchers and pharmaceutical drug companies seeking to develop new ways of making lots of money. No, I did that last part. It actually says of treating them. Weichs and colleagues Felicity Collard, also of King's Institute of Psychiatry, and Nick Craddock of Cardiff University's Department of Psychological Medicine and Neurology, said many in the psychiatric community are worried that the further the guidelines are expanded, the more likely it will become that nobody will be classed as normal anymore. Technically, with the classification of so many new disorders, we will all have disorders, they said in a joint statement. This may lead to the belief that many more of us need drugs to treat our conditions. Many of these drugs will have unpleasant or dangerous side effects. I tell you, be mandated too by judges, courts, and so on. The scientist said psychosis risk syndrome, that's a good one, eh? Psychosis risk syndrome diagnosis was particularly worrying since it could falsely label young people who may only have a small risk of developing an illness. It's a bit like telling 10 people with a common cold that they're sick, that they're at risk for pneumonia syndrome when only one is likely to get the disorder. It's actually a lot less than one, Weichs told the briefing. The American Psychiatric Association did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Oh no, they wouldn't weigh up their lofty tower there. The scientists gave examples for the previous revision to the DSM, which was called DSM-4, and included broader diagnoses and categories for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, autism, and childhood bipolar disorders. This, they said, had contributed to 3 false epidemics of these conditions, particularly in the United States. No, it's not false epidemics. It was on the cards. They want to drug, especially people who are young people who have leadership qualities, young males. That's what it's for, folks. During the last decade, how many doctors were harangued by worried patients into giving drugs like Ritalin to children who didn't really need it? Their statement asked. Millions of people across the world, many of them children, take ADHD drugs, including Novartis Ritalin, which is known generically as methylphenidate. A similar drug such as Shire PLC's Adderall and Vyvanse. In the United States alone, sales of these drugs was about $4.8 billion in 2008. That's quite a lot of cash, eh? They're all related to cocaine as well. Weichs and Callard published a comment in the Journal of Mental Health expressing their concern about the upcoming DSM revision and highlighting another 10 or more papers in the same journal from other scientists who are also worried. DSM-5 is due to be published in May 2013. And believe you me, it's getting more and more and more and more political with their diagnosis. Believe you me, that's where it's all going. That's where it's all going. And you'll have to go to your rehabilitation centers when you've said something naughty or politically incorrect or sola century, as I like to say in Hollywood, that's where you get upgraded by various techniques. So you can come back out with a quality approved stamp on you saying, yes, you're now a good parrot and you'll get on with everybody regardless of what they say to you. Freud literally was part of a political agenda, it's the same agenda over and over and over of experts dominating and running the world. And the greatest way to do it is to tell you that you're not in control of your own mind, you're rather stupid and dumb. So let a professional genius do it all for you. So they get the star-making machinery and they call him a genius, which he wasn't. and you start to quote him in Parliament. He must be a genius. He's so famous. That's the criteria for being a genius today, you know. So you got to go back further and further to get answers to it all. But Carl Jung, regardless of what they say about him, and he did do a lot of make a lot of blunders too, but he did split with Freud, because Carl Jung knew, he says, there's something beyond just this humanistic agenda. And Freud split up with that too. Freud said we must make sex the sole criteria for the motivation of the masses, libido, you see. And that's what they would use as a tool of destruction and then rebuild again. And we've been through all that, haven't we? Sexual revolutions and things. But Carl Jung did know from experience there was more to all this than just basically an atheistic, humanistic agenda where man is a supreme being. No, he's not. He said that there's something else here, that the spirit, something spirit, and a connection to spirit. And so he had his dreams, his own dreams, to do with something outside of himself, something much bigger. From myself, Alan Ward, it's good night to meet your God, or your gods go with you.